Welcome to the Week 12 Speed Edition of the Football Garbage Time Podcast. My name is Hakun Wong, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Football Garbage Time. Senior writer Ryan Whitfield was likely to join us soon, but if he can't get on, we'll just go ahead and run through the topics for this week. And as promised, we're going to go through a number of really quick hits from highlights around the league in Week 12. So the first and foremost issue that popped up this week was the injury to Rob Gronkowski. And on the line now, I believe we have Ryan Whitfield. Ryan, you there?
Yes, I am. How's it going?
All right, how are you doing? And we're just got to get rolling here, and I was just kind of teeing up the first topic of the day, which I know is going to be near and dear to your heart, because I do recall all the tweets regarding the result of the game. But let's put the result aside for now and talk about probably the more important issue long-term, because let's face it, one loss during the regular season is not going to derail the New England Patriots. They're just too good for that, and they're very likely to make it pretty far deep into the playoffs anyway. But what about the injury to Rob Gronkowski? Any thoughts on how that injury is going to impact the New England Patriots, if at all?
So I don't think that it's going to really have an overall impact. It was a horrifying moment for anyone who's a Patriots fan.
I was envisioning the look on your face when he went down. I assume it wasn't good.
Yeah, not one of my prouder moments of blind range or blind rage. I did double bird up into the sky and swear at the big man above, because I was something that I talked about a lot with the Steelers this year feeling cursed. It was starting to feel that way for us. So
right.
I would start by saying that if the reports are true, I don't need to see Rob Gronkowski until January. And same with Dante Hightower. You get Collins back on that defense, get him back up to speed and ramped up, and I don't think it'll have an overall big effect, because aside from the Houston Texans, the Pats have one crap bag team after another down the stretch here. They could start Jimmy Garoppolo, and they could have five Chris Harpers out there, and they would still beat Philadelphia this weekend. The Texans are, might be a little bit of a challenge just given, the prime time nature of that game and how well that defense is playing right now. And then after that, you have the Titans followed by the Jets and the Dolphins, all three of which will be warming up the buses about halfway through the first quarter in those games. So I don't think it's going to have a major effect on the season, provided he's back in January. And I say that because, not to be conspiracy theorist here, but there's something very strange going on. And it might be in response to what happened 2 years ago when Gronk was coming back from the forearm, or might even been last year. I don't know how much from a national perspective you or anyone else paid attention to it, but there was a lot of infighting between the Patriots and Gronkowski's family, to even at a point where the Patriots were basically coming out and throwing Rob under the bus. It was last year, saying that he was completely ready. He was ready to play. He'd be out there when he was ready, and really putting the onus on that. That it was him holding himself back, and his family came back out saying he wasn't clear. There's a whole issue with the team doctor. A whole lot of stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that reports were coming out so quickly on Gronkowski at the end of the game and really overselling how healthy he is, and the fact that depending on which report you read, he's either got a bone bruise or a sprain in his knee. There's I don't know what the story is, but there is one. If I had to guess, I would say that the Patriots are calling it a bone bruise, and his family and his agent are calling it a sprain. And I think that there might be a disagreement on how long he should be out, and I think he would rather, stay off the long haul. And I think that Belichick and the Patriots are saying, at least putting the pressure on that they don't want this to come up, division round weekend, that Rob is saying he's still not healthy. So the Pats want the pressure on him to say, hey, you better be back and ready for a playoff run here.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think that's probably wrong of them to do. I mean, Gronkowski knows his body better than anybody. It's him. And honestly, they'll be fine, I think, without him for the rest of the regular season at least, and probably into the divisional. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to have any issue I assume they're not going to be in a wild card playoff. They're going to have some time for him to get healthy. And I just think it's not smart to push something like him. And he's a cornerstone of the franchise. He's one of the three major components of why the Patriots are successful, aside from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I think they keep him out. And Scott Chandler actually did quite well with him off the field. I mean, I know that the Patriots actually basically play every play. Every snap has two tight ends or two running backs, so not having Gronkowski healthy is going to be an issue. But Scott Chandler did great. I thought he looked really good in the time he was out there, 58 yards and a touchdown, 5 receptions. Brady seemed to like him afterwards, and he was talking about him. So I don't see any issue here by keeping him out. And I agree, no impact, I think, long-term, as long as he gets back for the playoffs in January. So let's move along to that, because there's a couple other things I want to hit before we get to the end of the podcast, and we got a quick hits version today. So let's talk about the other big issue here, and I guess it's more of a big issue in the tabloids more than anything else, but Johnny Manziel demoted last week to third string after going out and partying and putting it on Instagram, wherever the heck he did, and it's a really stupid move on the part of him and his friends. But he was demoted to third string, and the worst thing could ever happen to the Browns. They're not going anywhere anyway, but Josh McCown breaks his clavicle, out for the season. Austin Davis started the remainder of that game and looked okay, but had a boneheaded error at the end of the game, which kind of led to a block kick ultimately in the loss against the Baltimore Ravens. Any thoughts on Johnny Manziel versus Austin Davis for the next week of the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, first off, Mike Pettine sucks. And you want to talk about the biggest mistake in Cleveland right now, it's him as the head coach. I'm sure you watch pretty closely, because I know you're a big Notre Dame fan like me, the BC game yeah. a couple weeks ago, and Mike Pettine's
sure
NFL
did.
Version of Steve Adazio, where he just walks around yelling the whole time, and it's just such a 1970s attitude. Johnny Manziel should play. You got to evaluate the kid. The end of the – I think it was the Cincy game on Thursday Night Football. At the end of the half, Johnny Manziel has a magical drive, leads him down, makes an amazing play, and scores a touchdown. He asked Pettine about it going into the locker room, and that boob, who doesn't understand football past 1981, says, yeah, we got to get him to stay in the pocket more. So I don't know if Manziel is the answer, but you have something invested in the kid, and Austin Davis sucks too. So you have to start him down the stretch. He's only has 5 starts in his NFL career. You have to see what he's got, and you have to see if he can make some things happen. And if I'm the owner, I come down and tell Pettine, if you want to collect the paycheck till the end of the year, you do this. Otherwise, I fire you now. I can fire you in season, or I can fire you at the end of the season. Either way, you're gone, and I might be stuck. And Manziel might be my quarterback of the future.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree with you, but maybe for a slightly different reason. It looks to me that Cleveland's going to move on from Johnny Manziel. So if that's the case, I say start him, because your season's over. Get him some trade value. I mean, the kid can actually – he can draw a lot of attention. I mean, he has a big name. There are going to be teams out there who think they can control a guy like that. I mean, teams like the Cowboys, Tony Romo might not be the future for much longer, and maybe Jerry Jones will want to take a chance on somebody like this. I mean, he's from Texas. It seems like it could be a good fit. He's going to have zero trade value if you're just going to throw him onto the waiver. So why not start him and get him some numbers? I mean, he was good, decent against Pitt. They lost that game, but 372 yards, 73.3% completion percentage. He was decent against Tennessee, 53.3% completion percentage, 2 TDs. I mean, he had plus 100 passer rating there. I think he has some potential, and if you want to get something out of this and not lose all the value you got from drafting him high, why not get him some value so you can trade him away? So I think we agree, Johnny Manziel is the guy. Austin Davis, nothing special. I don't understand why you would even bother starting him at this point. He's a career backup at best. Going on to the Detroit Lions and the new offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, who, aside from having one of the coolest names in the history of offensive coordinators, has actually turned the Detroit Lions around with 3 straight wins. What do you think, Ryan? Do you think this is they're going to make a run at the playoffs this season, or do you think this is just just a couple random chance wins for them?
I think it's somewhere between. You can't call it random how well they've been playing. I know that they played – I played against a team last week that has a coach who, is doing typical, I'm not interviewing while he's interviewing for college jobs to go back. You have a team that's turned on him. But, Detroit is, 3 in a row, and I believe 4 out of 5 now. So there's something real going on there.
I don't think they have a chance to make a real run at the playoffs. I think there's too much ground to make up, and you can't get as far behind as they did in trying to make a real push now. But as a positive sign going forward, I would say, yeah, a little bit. I still think that Jim Caldwell is one of the most overrated and worst coaches in the NFL. So as long as he's at the helm, Detroit will have some issues. So he'll, if they get close to the playoffs, Caldwell will find a way to mess it up, which is amazing because if you watch him in game, he doesn't say a single word. So I don't know what he does while he coaches, but he'll find a way to let his team screw it up, or Stafford will throw, you know, even if it's the last game of the season, Stafford will find a way to throw two picks in the fourth quarter and watch your season dreams go down the toilet.
Yeah. No, I agree with that entire Jim Caldwell aspect of it. But I do have to say, Jim Bob Cooter, I think, has done a great job. He's committed to the run, which, you know, he's moved the average 29 rushes per game off of 19 rushes per game during their 1-7 start. It's helped open up the field for Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford has looked like a different quarterback in the last three games. Better game manager, as well as better at finding his big targets. I mean, the big win at Green Bay, I mean, maybe Green Bay is not as good as they once were, but that was a very impressive win. And honestly, before they switched over, and this has nothing to do with Jim Bob Cooter, but the fact of the matter is that they were allowing 30-plus points per game, and now they're allowing 14 points per game in their last three wins. So I think they've definitely made some positive changes here, and it looks like that perhaps they can get back onto the winning streak, but I don't think it's going to be this year. I think that's it's just too late for that. So moving on to the next topic, and I think this is a very interesting one because it's all over the news. Chip Kelly on the hot seat. Philadelphia Eagles having one of their worst years here under Chip Kelly, and everyone's pointing to him as the guy and the reason. What do you think? Should Chip Kelly leave the Philadelphia Eagles? Is he to blame for their terrible season in 2015?
He's absolutely to blame, and even more so to blame is the owner for giving him the power to, as Parcells once said, pick out the groceries for his dinner. He turned around that team, and every player he brought in has sucked, and everyone he got rid of has performed better. Maybe it's save Nick Foles, although Foles has probably even been more reliable than Bradford was this year.
Right.
Regardless, Chip Kelly was overrated from Jump Street. Chip Kelly was labeled an innovator when all he's ever been is a gimmick. Now, that pains me to say. I grew up in New Hampshire, so Chip Kelly's kind of a legend in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
But, again, I'm going to take it back to the Notre Dame angle for a second. The year we went to the national championship and lost to Alabama, one of the most overlooked things is the only reason Notre Dame got into the number two spot that year was because Oregon lost the game late in the year, and I forget who they played off the top of my head. But what happened was
Very true. Is
Oregon had a chip shot 35-yard field goal, and their kicker missed it. Because Chip Kelly had only kicked it something like four times all year because he went for a fourth down so much. And while people call that innovation, I call that stupid because when you needed your kicker to make a big kick to keep your national title hopes alive, the kicker came in and choked it away because it's only the fifth time he touched the field. Chip Kelly's an idiot.
Yeah.
That team has turned on him. He's got to go, and they got to start over again in Philadelphia.
Right. So I'll only say one thing about that. I'll totally agree with you. It's Chip Kelly's problem. From 2013, 2014, to 2015, we went from the fourth best scoring offense to the third best scoring offense to the 20th best scoring offense in the NFL. What was the difference? Well, in 2013 and 2014, he did it with people he inherited. Nick Foles, Mark Sanchez, Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy. What happened in 2015? He got the guys he wanted. Sam Bradford, DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews. He drafted Jordan Matthews. He drafted Nelson Aguilar and Zach Ertz. None of that worked out for him. He is obviously a terrible, terrible coach. And that basically ends our time for the Speed Edition this week. So just tell me, Redskins, yes or no, real quick?
No.
Okay, I agree. Redskins, terrible. I think the Giants will take it back. All right, that's all the time we have for this week. Ryan, give them your Twitter account so they can follow you.
Yeah, so my Twitter account is at RyanWhitfieldNE, and I'd like to invite anyone who actually thinks that was a holding on Pat Chung on third down on Sunday night to tweet at me and let me know so I can make sure I block it for good.
Terrific, and we'll be sure to do that. And in the meantime, follow us at FB Garbage Time and enjoy the rest of the NFL week. We'll see you again in week 13.